Why are so many governors, especially Republican governors, balancing their state budgets by making public sector employees pay more? Steve Paulson put that question to Stephen Malanga, a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute and the author of Shakedown, the continuing conspiracy against the American taxpayer.
Well, first of all, I think it's inevitable that public sector workers in some places, in many places perhaps, are going to have to pay more, because when you look at the size of those promises we've made that that government hasn't funded for public employees, they're staggering. In a place like Illinois, if they took all the money that they collected in taxes every year for the next 6 years and put it in their pension funds, they would finally catch up. That's how far behind they are.
So one of the big problems you're saying is just how do you pay for the pension benefits?
Many places have also made promises to pay for health care benefits for people in retirement. What you have in a lot of places, I read somewhere, for instance, that New Jersey has as many retirees as they have state workers actually working right now, which means they're essentially paying health care benefits for two workforces. So that's a problem. There's no question that the day of reckoning is kind of here. We now have actuarial reports stating, for instance, that some of New Jersey's pension funds, government pension funds, could begin running out of money as quickly as 4 or 5 years from now, which is kind of staggering, because that's not just being underfunded. That's completely having no money left and having to take money out of your yearly budget in order to pay your retirees, which is unsustainable.
Are you saying that public sector employees are paid too much?
Every state is different and every municipality is different. Are they overcompensated in Mississippi? Almost certainly no. Are they overcompensated in Texas? We could go through a whole bunch of places. So it's very difficult to make national assumptions like that. And so you have to sort of really get into the numbers. When you do, I would say yes, that the benefits that are offered in the public sector in many states, but certainly not in every state, the benefits are out of proportion to what you see in the private sector. And the way they're structured, we've got early retirement and people living longer. So you got two things going in the opposite direction. They've become unsustainable, and they are out of proportion.
Let me follow up on that, though, because there are obviously conflicting studies that come to different conclusions. And there's a study that just came out from Jeffrey Keefe, a labor and management professor at Rutgers, who says, actually, this is not true. And his analysis shows that if you compare private and public employees with the same amount of educational background, same experience and work schedule, private employees make 11% more in wages and 5% more in total compensation than public workers. And total compensation for workers in the private sector with bachelor's degrees is $89,000 compared to $57,000 for public workers.
There are a lot of things I can say about that study. But one of the things they tend to do is they tend to look at all the jobs, put them all together. Okay, when you start disaggregating, here's what you find over and over again. Higher educated public sector workers don't make as much as workers in the private sector. In one study, I saw they were quoting psychiatrists who work for public institutions don't make as much as psychiatrists in the private sector. Well, that's not a surprise to most people. But at the place where you find most public sector employment, especially at the municipal level, public safety, fire, also sanitation, transit workers, even these studies showed that there's a big difference. Now we're just talking about wages. The other part of this is compensation, total compensation, including benefits. And one of the reasons that we're in the kind of trouble that we're in right now is that politicians, sometimes I would say abetted by some of these public pension associations, have used accounting methods that have consistently underestimated the true cost of those benefits.
Let's step back for a moment and talk about how one can deal with this problem, because I think just about everyone says the deficit is a problem. I mean, people across the political spectrum, and it seems to me there are basically two ways to deal with it. You can either cut government spending or you can increase taxes. So I have to ask, why not target upper income earners with higher taxes?
Well, if you look at the states that have had the most persistent budget problems over the last decade, and this is even before 2008 and 2009, if you look at those states and the states with the highest public sector compensation costs, look at which states those are: New York, New Jersey, Illinois, California, Rhode Island. These states, except for Illinois, which is a special case we can talk about, these states already have among the highest taxes in the country. New Jersey in 2004 was going to solve its budget problems with the so-called millionaire's tax. It enacted a millionaire's tax, which actually started at $500,000 a year, so it's kind of a half millionaire's tax, but it was called the millionaire's tax. That didn't work. 2 years later, the new governor, Governor Corzine, said, well, we need another solution. So he did a sales tax increase, which hit everybody. That didn't work. They still had this enormous budget problem. Then he turned around and they did a whole bunch of taxes last year. They taxed rich people, but they also took away the property tax deduction. They took away the property tax rebates for middle-class people. In the end, it winds up trickling down. The thing that they never did in New Jersey was control costs, was control expenditures. So you see a series of tax increases on a whole range of people having essentially no effect, and Jersey is just now a fiscal wreck.
But I don't understand this. Why can't you tax people? Let's go back to the million dollar club.
Yes, because
clearly, if you tax them at higher rates, it should bring in more money, right? Why doesn't that work?
Because there's something that economists call basically tax capacity. If you have higher and higher and higher rates, you get less and less from it. Particularly, remember, we're talking about a recession. We're talking about when people's incomes are falling as it is. And so let me give you an example, okay? Andrew Cuomo gave this example. The new governor of New York State, in his budget address, and he ran as a Democrat on an agenda of no new taxes. Why? He said, let me point something out to you. During all this period of time, we have been increasing the New York State budget, including money we have to spend on pensions and healthcare, at an annual rate of 5%, 5.4% compounded. He said, during that entire time, our government has been growing faster than the wealth of its people. There is no way to tax yourself out of that in the long run.
So you're saying that essentially the only thing you can do is cut government spending, and the big way to do that is to make public sector workers pay more, particularly for their pensions and health insurance.
Well, again, we're making national generalizations. Underneath it all, there's a lot of stuff going on. In fact, the National Governors Association recently put out a report in which they said, look, this is not the old cycle of deficit and then expansion, deficit and then expansion. They use the term a new fiscal reality, which is going to require states to start asking fundamental questions again. What kind of government do we want? What kind of services do we want to pay for? What are our priorities?
One final question, and I say this as someone who has been watching the political battle unfold just a mile from where I work in downtown Madison, Wisconsin. I mean, I've never seen Wisconsin so divided politically, and it worries me. Does it worry you to see these kinds of battles, political battles, play out and what the consequences are for people trying to live together and work together?
Well, you know, I'm a little bit older than you are, and I was a kid during the 60s and the 70s. And what I see today is nothing compared to what I saw when people were in the streets back then, when you had the hard hats marching on Washington on one side of the avenue and the students for Democratic Society. And so, no, actually, it doesn't worry me. I've seen quite a lot. And I don't think this is anything comparable to the upheavals of, let's say, May 66, of the early 70s. So, no, it doesn't worry me.
Stephen Malanga is a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute and the author of Shakedown, The Continuing Conspiracy Against the American Taxpayer.